the good liars.
The good liars?
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, yeah. I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeBrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell you the truth. And today on the show, we are going to discuss our time at Trump's first 100 days rally in Warren, Michigan.
You said 100 years or 100 days?
It feels like 100 years, but it's only been 100 days.
Hard to believe.
We're also going to be talking about technology. That'll make sense later. But first, we want to remind you, you can support us on Substack and get exclusive content there. We've been traveling a lot, DeBrom, in the last couple days. How are you feeling right now after all the travel we've done?
I don't even know where I am right now. I don't know. I guess I'm in a daze.
I'll go over all of your travel right now. Yeah. We went down to D.C.
Yeah.
Correspondents' Dinner, which we'll touch on in a few minutes. Then you flew to Atlanta, Georgia for the NRA convention, which is always a lot of fun.
Yes.
Came back to New York for a matter of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then we flew down or flew across the country to Michigan.
Michigan.
Yes.
Detroit,
halfway
Michigan.
Halfway across the country. Maybe not.
A third of the way across the country. A quarter of the way across the country. An eighth, whatever.
Not an eighth.
It's not an eighth.
Okay.
To Detroit. And that was for this 100 days rally that you brought up.
So we've been everywhere,
north of Detroit.
Man. You have.
I've been everywhere, man. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Can we talk about briefly? We went to one of the correspondents' dinner parties in DC, and we met Kennedy from former MTV VJ, and we talked to her and her friend. For a long time. You talked to her for a very long time. And after for those who don't know, she was she's on Fox News. Like, she's a conservative libertarian. And you talked to her for a very, very long time. And then afterwards, he said to me, I was talking to her about, I was saying, I really like your, how you
well,
are
she
on
said
The View. Like,
on
you're the
five.
Democratic.
No, she appears
voice.
On The Five. The Fox News show, the panel show Jesse Waters was on for a while. And there are always clips coming out of it. So I was like, eventually I realized who she was. She's the one who always has a good take, always challenges the
Democrat,
room a little bit.
The Democrat in the room. You said that to me and I was like, that is a totally different person. That's Jessica Tarlov. Am I saying her name right? I don't know. Possibly,
but yeah. So I spent the entire conversation being like, it's just great to, challenge the voices in the room and kind of, not let people get away with
wrong
it.
About
it. And I think she kind of knew that I had it wrong, but then we started talking about other things and it was great.
Okay, great. Yeah. That's good. So the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I was probably, besides the people in the room, I was probably one of very few people who actually watched it. I had to, because it was on TV, and I was on the TV watching it. If that makes sense.
It doesn't. So explain.
On MSNBC for the coverage of it.
Right.
So I was watching it.
Doesn't make sense. You were on a show that was covering the Correspondents' Dinner.
Correct.
So you were watching the Correspondents' Dinner and commentating on it on TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I said.
Kind of.
No, it's not what I said. And also, I'm very, very tired right now.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, there was no comedian this year. Supposed to be Amber Ruffin. She got axed.
Whoa. Breaking news.
Just weeks before, maybe a month before. And so there was no comedian. It was just awards.
And she got axed because they hadn't seen some of the degree to which she'd been anti-Trump, and they weren't comfortable having that be the tone of the dinner.
So.
They thought that would become the story or something.
I mean, Trump didn't come to it.
He's never gone to it. That's
so
become
like
part
the
of the tradition.
Now. Yeah. And they thought, I don't know what the real rationale was, but they were like, she said something on a podcast, and they were like, this is not who we want representing us. And instead of getting somebody else, they just had nobody give a speech.
That's so weird.
It was very boring because of that. Because usually there's like huge viral moments from it, or at least just like funny jokes.
Right.
You know, there was nothing this year. So it was very boring. We want to say for the record, we are willing to host it, the next White House Correspondents' Dinner. We'll do it. And it'll be different because we'll be going around interviewing people who are drunk journalists during the actual dinner. That
so people
will be
could get
bit.
Into some real trouble at the next White House Correspondents' Dinner. And that could be fun.
Probably
be like a little
us.
Roll of the dice. Yes. Probably us. Yeah.
Yes. But let's talk about our experience in Warren, Michigan. So we went, we traveled there on Monday, the rally.
Did you have a little deja vu?
Yes, because we'd been there before.
That's right.
The exact same venue. We were there for a Trump rally in the fall, I think, of 2023. And when we were there the first time, we talked to a lot of people, as we always do. We got there pretty early. And I think by the time the sun was setting, there was still a huge line of people trying to get in.
Right.
And it seemed like, you know, it's not a huge, it's like a basketball, I think, sports complex there. It's not a huge room, but this rally, it seemed like there were not a lot of people there.
Yeah, and I kept thinking, okay, we're here early. It's going to start to fill up. I know it's not, we're not in a campaign season, but surely this will fill up. And as far as we saw, it just, it like never did.
Never
really got going. So we talked to some people on their way in, and you got to talk to some people like in the line, but it was like
barely moving. Yeah.
It was not a typical rally.
And we got there, I think, to the line, like the doors had only been open for 15 minutes when we got there. And then within 15 minutes after that, the line
it was empty.
So it was, I think
strange.
They said maybe around 3,000. Yeah. I don't know if there are that many people, but I'm not good at the head counts. But
no,
it was very odd.
You're a numbers guy or math guy?
Numbers guy. Okay. Yeah. No, math guy.
Math guy.
No, whatever. We'll figure it out next time. It seemed like a lot smaller, and I don't think, like, I don't know if that means that people are upset with Trump or whatever. They don't.
Well, what I was trying to say to you yesterday after the rally was, even if he has lost some support, I still would have thought this rally would be big enough, given that we'd seen this area of people show up to a rally before. I was shocked by how small it was. I guess people feel like there's nothing to
show up
for.
Tuesday, in the middle of a work day,
right?
It started at 6. Maybe people just weren't showing up. Not like you said before, not a campaign season.
He usually packs a room. He usually packs a room.
And on that note, as we were about to leave, there was a counter protest, or I guess a protest of it, just a protest of Trump that was happening outside on the grass, like on the road
Somehow we'd missed it. We'd been near where the line was gathering, and we had missed that this thing had been gathering the whole day.
Yeah.
And it was big.
It was huge. It was huge. It was like, I think, compared to like other things, and obviously Trump's president now, and now people are more energized to be protesting Trump. But when we would go to rallies over the summer and into the fall, there would be like 5 people.
Right.
This was like hundreds and hundreds of people. I don't know. I mean, we took a video of it, and it doesn't end. It goes like, it starts on one side and then goes a whole block.
Right.
And was
around
a corner,
half of the next block. Whenever there's a counter to something that's going on, it usually seems pretty small, like just a few local people who are upset that a certain thing is taking place. This felt like it was a much bigger gathering.
Yes,
Like maybe almost the size of the rally.
Yes, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, but also doesn't stop anything that's happening
from
in the world
happening
right
at
now.
All yes. for the next yes. couple of years. Yeah.
Okay, so this is from the Huffington Post. Donald Trump had footage of alleged foreign gang members being removed from America that was aired during the president's rally in Warren, Michigan on Tuesday. The crowd cheered and chanted USA, USA, USA after the clip concluded. Trump had teed up the video claiming, quote, the worst of the worst are being sent to a no-nonsense prison in El Salvador. So
they should have been chanting El Salvador.
El Salvador.
Yeah.
First off, it's just so sad, this stuff.
It is.
We're just sending people to this, like, concentration very deeply, like the people are really on top of each
concentrated.
Other. Concentrated.
Concentrated. In a camp type situation.
Yes.
Even it's hard to root for anybody to go there. I'm sure people have done some really bad stuff. It's hard to even root for them to go to a place like this. Like, there's no, this is not a place for people to be rehabilitated and maybe eventually have a life after. It's just a place to, like, hold people until they die.
Yes. And I was thinking about this, and I talked about this with some other people about the how Trump supporters would actually feel about this. Because, you know, if you look at the polling of it, it was like, I think it's like 75% of Republicans support his immigration policies. And a lot of people think, the majority of people now think he's gone too far. And now he's not, it's not even a winning issue with him. I was thinking about this, like, I'm a glass half full type of person. I've said this so many times. Sometimes I'm a glass half empty.
Yeah.
But
your glass always has some water.
Has something in there. Yeah. Yes. Oh, it's water in the glass?
I don't know. Milk.
Okay. Milk. Yeah. Yes. That's much better. So I kind of was thinking that the vast majority of the Trump supporters would not be for this just because it's so bad.
Right.
And I talked to a woman about this who seemed like she was, she was a nice enough woman took the time to talk with us. And here's that video.
What are your thoughts on some of the immigrants being sent to El Salvador, to those vicious prisons there?
I'm all for it. You're here illegally. You broke the law to get here. You need to go. If you want to come back and didn't commit any crimes while you were here or there, then come back legally.
But going to those prisons, there is not a way out of those prisons. They're designed so you stay there for life and you can't go outside and you're in a cell with 50 other people. Is that the right punishment for coming into the country illegally?
That is the punishment that they chose.
Did they? Because they didn't, some of the people came in 10 years ago.
Listen, if I go over a border, I'm going to be in prison. Any other border, any other country, that's how it is. So, yes, that's the way it should be.
But a prison that's in another country that is a vicious, basically concentration camp, that's okay?
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it, she says. Right. So, it's just interesting to think that is, people are like, that's an okay punishment for coming over a border,
right,
to be sent to.
I think
maybe not even the country you came from. One, could be a totally different country, and then you're sent to El Salvador.
Which we did talk to some people about. They're like, well, so you have to send them back to where they came from. It's like, what? But they're not. They're sending them to a third country. And not just to that country, to the worst prison there. I don't know. I feel like when we would press people on a couple of the particular stories, sometimes they would kind of say, oh, well, maybe that's not so great. But there was very much a crack a few eggs to make an omelet type outlook on things. Like, oh, maybe that's sad, but overall, this is a really good thing. And I don't know, begs the question, like, isn't there a more humane way to handle people? Like, shutting down the border and dealing with people in this country in a more humane way. Seems like it should be on the table. You shouldn't have to send them to an El Salvadoran prison.
I think the point is that they want people to think the worst is going to happen to them, so they don't even decide to come here. But it creates a situation in the country where there's a lot of fear in a lot of communities for this.
Right.
Didn't you talk to somebody at the NRA convention about this, about having undocumented people who lived with them?
Yeah, I talked to a guy, a very kind of sweet guy who lived on one of the islands off of Washington State. And he said, I have a couple of roommates who are undocumented. And one of them has lived with me for 20 years. And I said, well, okay, imagine that someone came to take him away. And he said, well, I would do everything I could to keep him there. But he understands that he's breaking the law, and if he has to go, he's got to go. And basically he said he's like my family, but I would understand, you know, legally speaking, if he were just taken away. He's been there for 20 years.
Yikes.
Very sad.
Yeah, that is very sad. Very, very sad.
I also think he didn't genuinely think it would happen, and I think that's what people are dealing with. It's like, oh, probably there aren't innocent people being taken away. Probably it would only happen if you're a real bad guy. And it's like, well, some very innocent people have been taken away to the like one of the worst places on earth.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like Trump was running on all this stuff, and funny is definitely not the right word, but Trump is running on like mass deportations.
Okay, waiting for the laugh.
Yeah, the punchline's coming here. And these tariffs, you know, and even like his advisors were like, he's not going to do these tariffs. This isn't going to happen. Don't worry about this. It's going to be totally fine. And then he does this with no like method to the madness. And they're like, oh shit, we got to get him.
I find myself slipping into that sometimes where I'm like, he's just speaking in campaign talk. And like, can't be this dumb or this cruel. And it just is.
Yeah, there's never like a huge plan with it. He doesn't have the producers of The Apprentice. They're telling him how to like wrap up an episode or something. He's just got a couple things from some people who are very, very odd.
Did he used to
telling him what to do?
Shit himself on The Apprentice. Is that not true?
I'm not getting involved in this. Who knows if that's true?
Yeah,
but
I feel like it's
just a made up bullshit thing that people are like.
Okay.
You know, like the fucking the couch thing where I'm like, okay, of all the fucking things, did that happen?
I don't fucking know.
I don't fucking know.
But it's hard for me to now think of the show without thinking of that.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. I think a lot of Americans feel the same way. That's really great. So you talked to a guy there who in Warren, Michigan this week about crypto.
That's right.
You know a lot about crypto.
About crypto. I know a lot about crypto?
Yes.
Maybe in comparison to the average. No, I don't. I don't. Couldn't even really tell you exactly what it is.
Well, there was some controversy about crypto and Trump, because have you heard of Trump's meme coin?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is from The Hill. Senators request ethics probe into Trump meme coin dinner. Senators Adam Schiff and Elizabeth Warren asked a federal ethics watchdog Friday to investigate a dinner President Trump is set to attend next month with the top investors in his meme coin. So for people that don't know, Deram, explain what a meme coin is.
So I know a lot about this kind of thing.
Is this going to be a bullshit thing? I just want to get ahead of this. Right.
Maybe.
Okay.
No, but basically a meme coin is something you buy, a cryptocurrency you buy because of its perceived, like, I don't know, whatever, cultural value. You're a fan of the person, they launch the coin, you buy it. You're not
like Dogecoin was a meme coin.
It was. Now I think Elon's trying to make it have actual value. Like for a little while, you could buy a Tesla with Dogecoin. Like he was trying to make it into a real thing. But some of these, literally, there are no practical purposes for at all. And it's just if you like the person, it's kind of a version of like support for them.
But the people will make money off of it.
But the obvious problem with that is it looks like a financial investment. And the people who get in early because they know it's launching and they buy a bunch of it, then all the other people come in and invest money thinking, hey, maybe I can make a buck here. And then all those original people just pull out all the money after doubling or tripling, rug pulling, after making, maybe even 100 times their initial investment or 1,000 times their initial investment, pull it out. And then all those people who came later hoping to make a few bucks are the ones who basically end up just pushing their money toward the multi-millionaire, 100 millionaire billionaires.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I think they're requesting an ethics probe because now people they're basically like paying for access with the president.
Right? Paying for access with the president, but also I think just that it looks like a financial investment that is not. And that would be a scam if anybody but him did it, basically. Like people are facing like legal proceedings if they do a rug pull like that, but not him.
It's just so funny because they're nothing. These coins.
It's nothing. But I have to say, having dinner with him actually makes it something.
I guess so. You're saying we should invest?
Yeah, we gotta have dinner. We gotta invest a ton though if we're gonna be one of the top investors. Anyway, talk to this guy about crypto at the 100 Days rally.
Crypto has struggled a little bit in the first 100 days of the presidency. What do you see as far as that goes? Is it going to turn around?
Yeah, it will eventually. If it's they're only buying Bitcoin, everything else is a scam.
Only buy Bitcoin, everything else is a scam?
Correct, yeah, only Bitcoin.
So Donald Trump launched his meme coin. Was that a scam?
I love Trump, but yes. Yes, it was a scam.
Appreciate his honesty.
Me too. And I think he was such a Bitcoiner that he couldn't say that anything else wasn't a scam. I think okay. That's what they get together and talk about, how great Bitcoin is and how everything else is not worth investing in. And if you're a true believer, his crypto allegiance was greater than his Trump allegiance for that one moment.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I
interesting.
Think. Yeah.
It was a very funny moment just being like, I was like, this guy's being honest. He's being honest about it. And it's so wild that so many people, Melania had her coin too. So many people invested these, and they launched it right before inauguration when the most eyeballs are on him. It's just a new scam.
But it's gotten so streamlined. It's like you used to have to like maybe make something. Maybe it was a shitty product or something.
Like a steak or a university.
Yeah, or a university, or whatever. There had to at least be a website. I don't know. This is literally like, I don't know how long it takes to create, almost no time. And then you are just collecting money from average people and then just taking it for yourself and deciding when you want the price to crash.
It's crazy. And I have a question for you, DeBron.
Sure.
With this
anything,
new,
man, I want you to feel you can ask anything.
Crypto, meme coin, all this stuff didn't exist just a few years ago. Technology is changing.
Right.
Do you think Donald Trump understands technology?
Well, I think he struggles with it at times.
Okay.
We have a couple of clips we're going to play in relation to his understanding of technology. And this interview with ABC just happened.
Wait a minute. He wasn't a member of a gang. And then they looked, and on his knuckles, he had MS-13.
There's a dispute
over
that.
Wait a minute. He had MS-13 on his knuckles tattooed.
Oh, he had some tattoos that are interpreted that way. But let's move on.
Wait a minute. Hey, Terry.
He did not have the letter MS-13.
It says MS-13.
That was photoshopped. So let me just...
That was photoshopped, Terry. You can't do that. Hey, they're giving you the big break of a lifetime. You know, you're doing the interview. I picked you because, frankly, I never heard of you, but that's okay.
I picked you, Terry.
But you're not being very nice. He had MS-13 tattooed.
Right. We'll agree to disagree. I want to move on to something else.
Terry, do you want me to show you the picture?
I saw the picture. We'll agree to disagree.
Well,
Here we go.
Don't Photoshop it. Go look at his hand. He had MS-13.
He did have tattoos that can be interpreted that way. I'm not an expert on them. I want to turn to Ukraine, sir.
Terry, I want to get to Ukraine. No. He had MS, as clear as you can be, not interpreted. This is why people no longer believe the news, because it's fake news.
When he was photographed in El Salvador, they aren't there. But let's just go. They aren't there when he's in El Salvador.
They weren't there, but they're there now, right?
No,
but
they're in your picture.
Terry.
Ukraine, sir.
He's got MS-13 on his knuckles.
All right.
Okay.
Right, we'll take a look at that.
You do such a disservice.
We'll take a look at that, sir.
Why don't you just say, yes, he does, and, you know, go on to something else?
He's contested.
Why don't you just say it?
Why don't you just say it?
Just say it.
Usually when I say something enough times and I'm, you know, threatening and dismissive and insulting, someone will cave and just agree.
Just say it.
Just say it.
Because I want you to say it. I want you to say it. It says so much about him. So I found the photo.
Yeah, we should pull up the photo if you're looking to do that. Because basically, it becomes very clear throughout the conversation that Donald Trump actually thinks that the man has MS-13 on his knuckles. Not these tattoos that could be interpreted
that way. And marijuana leaf.
Maybe do mean that. But that's not the issue. The issue is that I think he thinks the labels that someone else has applied later are part of the tattoos. And
this is it right here. So it has the marijuana leaf, the smiley face, the cross, which like maybe is a one. And then there's something with the skulls that it's three. I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's at the top of it says MS-13, clearly put in there to be like, that's what these symbols mean.
Right. It was someone, and maybe they know what they're talking about. Maybe they don't. I don't know enough about what these tattoos mean.
So this is what happened. in the White House. Yeah. Somebody came in and they're like, you're going to show this. Look at this. This means MS-13.
Right.
He pulls up the picture and it's this picture.
Right.
And he's like, will you look at that? I can't believe it. Look, it says MS-13 there. This is unbelievable, folks. It's right there. And there was a moment where somebody who's close to the president was like, should we tell him? Should we tell him? And they were like, you know what?
It doesn't matter.
Just let him do it. Let's not make him angry. Right. Cuz he probably is like, this is amazing. They're not going to report this.
They're not going to report
it. It says it right there. And they know they'd have to correct him.
Right.
And that he'd
not
be
worth
angry
it.
At them.
And that he'd be angry and it's easier to not only not correct him but let him go on ABC News and possibly have to defend it. But he's so shameless that it doesn't matter. He'll just say it and then demand that he be agreed with. But it's almost, you almost wouldn't even call that Photoshop. Because Photoshop implies that you're trying to make it look real.
Yes.
Those were just like what someone had deemed those images to mean and had labeled it. And he couldn't tell the difference between like a label and a tattoo. I worry about his ability to distinguish things, especially when they relate to technology. He couldn't understand that it could be put on later.
It could be. Yeah. No, but it was on there. I saw it. This isn't the only time Trump has messed up technology, or I guess maybe just been super impressed by it, not understanding that things exist.
Right.
Wow.
This is a different panel than I've had. Everything's computer.
An older guy gets into a car, he's looking around, everything's computer. And then he's running the free world. And
I know. But you know what? The first time I got into a Tesla, like in an Uber, and it pulls
tell
up.
Tell me the words, everything's computer.
And I looked at all the screens in the front, and you like see the people like walking in, like the figures and all this stuff. I think I might have thought everything's computer. Everything is computer.
Everything's computer.
That's computer. That's computer. Everything in the front is computer.
Sure.
So I guess I'm not a Donald Trump defender. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm not a huge defender of the president.
But in that particular
case, I think everything was computer
to him in that moment. Yeah. And maybe in reality. But just in terms of his understanding of computers.
Oh,
in
okay.
general.
Yeah.
Where is he at on that?
If everything is computer, what is computer? Yeah.
Is Barron's aptitude, in your view, business or politics?
Maybe technology. Mm-hmm. He can look at a computer. I try turning off his car. I turn off his laptop. I said, oh, good. And I go back 5 minutes later. He's got his laptop. I said, how'd you do that? None of your business, Dad.
How'd you do this, Dad?
So in this story, I just want to kind of review the story. Yeah, Barron is working, presumably on like maybe homework or something.
Anything. He's on his computer.
Donald Trump comes in the room and says, enough, computer, and shuts it.
Yeah.
And Barron presumably allows that to happen. Yes. So, okay, Dad doesn't like computer. Dad leaves the room and Barron's like, ooh, I'm going to pull one over on him. I'm going to open computer.
Yes.
Opens computer, hits power button. Probably
computer on. I don't even know if it turns off. I don't think he understands.
Right, that you can just open it, and then Donald Trump comes back in the room. And says, how'd you turn on computer? Right, this is incredible.
Yeah. So my favorite thing is she starts it, business or politics.
Right,
and he said maybe technology.
Maybe technology.
Like, what's he best at? Business or politics?
Is that his way of saying he may not be cut out for this business and politics stuff?
I think he was just so impressed by computer.
Right. He was so impressed by computer, or he's so unimpressed by the other two things that he had to compliment him on computer.
Yes. Yeah. He actually was very good at computer.
Right.
Computer. I just realized everything computer right here.
Yeah.
Wow. So this begs the question. He doesn't really understand technology. You were saying earlier that he thought text messages were memos. Or Peter, were you saying that?
I think there was something about sending a memo to Mike Pence about something, and it was clear that he was discussing a text message.
Right.
So it's no wonder. I mean, we have Pete Hegseth and all the signal gate stuff. Like, what do you think he thinks about that? Does he get it? Does he get what they're even doing?
I don't think he does.
Does he get? And then we saw him say that, you know, maybe signal's the problem. We have to look into the signal.
We have to look into They can be on computer, yeah, folks.
They could be on computer.
And now phone, it's not just ring, dial. Right. They do other things.
You can tweet. But small computer.
Small computer. You can tweet. You can talk about Robert Pattinson and his, and then you can become president. Stewart. Yeah, God, it's so stupid.
So yeah, it's no wonder that some of the stuff he talks about, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know the severity of it.
That's not fair. That's not fair to dear leader. Well, I mean, that's rude. That's rude.
Sorry, maybe he'll get better at computer.
He'll get better at computer. He's only gonna be 83 when he's out of the office or something.
It's a good time to slow down and learn about computer.
Learn computer. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, DeVram, what do you think? We've done so much traveling. We've been to so many places. We were around Nerd Prom. We didn't go to it. You ended up in Atlanta, Georgia. Then we go to Warren, Michigan. We've been traveling. My mind is
weird.
Is a scrambled egg.
Yeah.
Can I have a moment of truth, please?
Sure.
Thanks.
It's going to be a short one.
Ugh.
But the truth is, you might hear a lot of things about Donald Trump's support and his supporters and the people we talked to at the rally saying how they support all of his policies, how the first 100 days couldn't be any better, how they're so pleased, how no president has gotten this much done in the first 100 days. The woman you talked to about her grandchildren being better off, even though she was just laid off because of Donald Trump's policies, but she thought she was just taking one for the team. I guess admitting that her work has been useless for the last maybe several decades, I don't know. She's like, and finally someone noticed and laid me off.
You're talking about the woman who was a teacher that I talked
to? That's right.
Yeah.
So despite all of that enthusiasm, Donald Trump has the lowest approval rating 100 days in the last 8 decades. So they say it's actually not going so well.
What?
The second worst was his first 100 days in his first term.
Oh, he beat himself.
He beat himself, yeah. So the truth is that it's not going great, at least with the average American.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
the rally was small, and it's not going great.
Well, that was some great truth there, DeVram. I appreciate that. I mean, it was sincerely. It was what it was.
Yeah.
It is. I approve of it. I give it 100% approval rating.
Yeah.
So you're doing better than Donald Trump.
All right.
So we got to get to writing. A year from now, we are going to be hosting the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Speak it into existence.
Yeah. I bit my tongue earlier.
Yeah.
And I just had another.
Bit it again?
I didn't bite it again, but there's like certain words where
you should look up on computer what to do, how to avoid.
Oh yeah,
this.
Computer can tell you.
Yeah, chat computer.
Yeah, AI. It's a wonderful thing. Remember, did you see the thing with Linda McMahon saying AI is A1?
No.
Secretary of Education. Yeah, this was a couple of weeks ago.
The steak sauce. Like,
yeah, she kept saying it. She said it once, and then she was like A1 in schools, and people were behind her like.
Have you never talked about this? You've only read emails about AI?
But before we get out of here, DeVram, leave and go.
Go.
Can you please give some words of wisdom to the audience now? I feel like people need it now more than ever.
I can. If you're in a public place, you have to pick your nose. You're feeling like it's like, oh my gosh, there's something.
A bug.
It's bothering me and it's tickling. Stick your pinky out. And make it look like a classy thing that you're doing.
Okay.
You know,
it's like putting
like when
your
you
tea
drink
up.
A cup of tea or something.
Like just Hulk Hogan and Mr. Nanny. A bit.
Whoa, boom.
Had to get some
wrestling in there, right?
Almost
to
a whole episode. That would have
But yeah, just commit to it, make it classy, and embrace it, and stop trying to just, you know, get away with it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Appreciate that, DeVram. Thank you so much. That's going to be very helpful for a lot of people. Yeah, and I really mean that a lot. I mean it a lot.
Really?
I got to get some sleep. All right. Thanks for joining us on The Good Liars. Tell the truth. We'll see you next time.